Hey, everybody! Welcome once again to Wallace Hartley Presents with Lennon Harge.
The podcast with black friends. That's a lie, actually. I don't have any black friends, Glenn.
Do you have friends, though? We're friends.
We're friends.
Yes.
I got one confused white friend. So how is your white guilt this week, Glenn?
You know, it's not so much that as my anger.
Your anger.
Yeah. Okay. That Irish, Scottish, pissed off at the world. So everything that's going on right now is ideal for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Lots to bitch.
Right in your wheelhouse. Just get angry.
Yeah. Just day-to-day life.
I realize this week I'm all about love and light.
Good.
Love and light. No more hateration.
Uh-huh.
This internet thing, social media, YouTube, it's all about hateration. We're just hating on everything all the fucking time. I'm done with it. I'm done with hating.
So, and please. So
this will be the Love and Light podcast. We're going to give everyone a chance. Okay. We're going to give everyone a shot.
We're going to start selling like energy mats and shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got some crystals.
Yeah.
That's why I was up in the Okanagan last week. Yeah. Sourcing crystals.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, or sourcing crystal. Badoompa.
That too. That's okay.
Okay. So, how you been? What's your week been like?
I was up in the Okanagan, had a good time. I started reading that book, Chaos.
Yes.
The one you gave me about Charles Manson. Got through about half of it. It's a good book. A lot of names. A lot of small C conspiracies intersecting.
Oh,
around Charles Manson, right?
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
And
guy should have been nabbed like 10,000 times before those murders were committed.
Well, and what does that tell you?
I don't know what it tells me. Either that people are grossly incompetent or there's a bunch of small C conspiracies going on keeping him safe.
And then like all the sheriff's departments and like all that crap.
Yeah.
But to have a guy with a record as long as Manson's, you know, and it's like, well, where's your client? Oh, he went to Mexico.
Yeah.
Because he got a job with a band.
Yeah.
And you let him go. Well, yeah, I'm his PO, man.
Or about a week or two before the murders, he's shacked up in a house with a gun and some weed and a 17-year-old girl.
Yes.
And the police is made well aware of it, and they don't grab him on anything.
No, nothing. They were definitely told to stay away from him by somebody, but I digress. Boy, we got a hell of a show for you this week's, folks. So many tasty, juicy topics.
Tasty and juicy.
Oh, yeah. So we are going to, speaking of books, we're going to talk about Robin DiAngelo's book, which seems to be everywhere right now.
Oh, God.
White Fragility. Or what I like to refer to a bourgeois academia at its best.
You know what? On that account, I'm going to disregard prior to investigation. I don't give a fuck about that book. I can just tell.
Yeah.
I'll read this book by the cover. This book fucking sucks. The person who wrote it sucks. And if you're going to this book to get advice on how to be racially sensitive, you fucking suck.
Oh, I know.
And you're weird and I don't want to be around you.
Yeah, but you know what? Because, I mean, she's appearing on all these talk shows. Because of everything that's going on right now with Black Lives Matter. And people like Jimmy Kimmel and all that are just gushing over her.
I think I sent you the link to that little piece that Matt Taibbi wrote. I think that was pretty good.
It was a succinct
description of what it is. It's a fucking marketing op. This woman is sowing the seeds for future prosperity for herself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, we are going to talk about Jordan Peterson's drug treatment in Russia.
My boy.
Because that's where you go.
My boy, JP.
Yeah, that's where you go if you got a detox, is Russia.
Well, I was sent to India once.
Because they're pretty enlightened over there.
Hey, hating on the slobs?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, who the fuck goes to Russia if you have a drug problem?
I don't know. Actually, I had a buddy who was Russian who actually went to Mecca.
Really?
Well, yeah, he decided to escape Russia and decided to go into Mecca.
Was he Muslim?
No. Very white Russian. Must have been good drugs.
Yeah. All the Russians I've met here are a little bit crazy and a lot racist.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them remind me of people who are in WITSEC.
What's WITSEC?
It's a Witness Protection Program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably are.
Yeah. They definitely have that Georgian Russian mob kind of demeanor about them.
Yeah.
But that's just the ones that I've met here. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. I'm generalizing. I'm painting everybody with the same brush.
Well, I mean,
and that's not right.
I mean, you're white, so that's what you fucking do.
Yeah, okay. And then finally, we are going to take a look at, because we are lucky enough to live in British Columbia on stolen land.
Whoa.
Sorry, had to put that in there. And have the wonderful and very competent Dr. Bonnie Henry in charge of things here. And
are we talking about COVID-19?
Yes.
Is Trump, that still happening here?
Donald Trump's COVID-19 responses. And apparently nobody's sick in America, so good job, you guys.
It's just the cost of doing business.
Oh, he has done a fine job. But, going back to the whole white fragility thing, I would tend to agree with you on this. I don't need to read the whole book. I've read excerpts.
Mm-hmm.
I've read enough to recognize another, ties in quite well with what we're talking about on the program today. Mm-hmm. Jordan Peterson is another guy that talks a lot and says nothing.
No.
Yeah,
Jordan Peterson, at least you can read his rules and they're clear and succinct. I have no fucking clue what this woman is saying is that the entire world is built on fucking racism and it can never fucking change.
Well, not only that, but like the words that she uses are just crazy. They're like redundant. They are.
I think the word is jargon.
Well, I know, like every discipline, every field in academia has its
non-comprehensible terms.
Well, no, it's non-clamature.
Mm-hmm. Nomenclature.
Nomenclature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. But this is not that. This is just, I'm going to use as many fucking big confusing words as I can. Because I'm not really saying anything. I just want to sell as many corporate sensitivity anti-racist trainings as I possibly can.
At $6,000 an hour that you can.
Yes.
Good on you. You lady, are doing the internet and doing this moment right.
So the first thing, when this book came out, I didn't know who Robin D'Angelo was. Mm-hmm. And I assumed right away, white fragility, I'm like, oh, a black person wrote this. Good for them. No, it's it's a upper middle class, white academic who her job is she's a corporate consultant and trainer. And that's what she does.
Now, we've both sat in trainings like this. What do we typically do when they're going on?
Try and gouge my eyes out with a spoon, mostly,
and avoid getting kicked out.
Yes,
because we're usually on that line.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
because it's just so
they're a fucking joke.
Well, and they're condescending.
Yeah,
but number one, my biggest beef with them is they don't address the actual issues. This woman is like basically saying you're all really very naughty people.
And you always will be.
Yeah. And so you're going to need to keep paying me a lot of money in order for me to cure. It's like those crazy evangelical fundamental Christians trying to cure gay people. You know what I mean?
That's like the Christ. Oh, my God.
Isn't it?
It's just a modern Christian grift.
Yeah.
It's like you inherited a sin.
Yes.
Way, 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 way back when. And you can never, ever, ever, ever absolve yourself of it.
So.
Unless you proclaim me your Lord and Savior.
But, you know, basically, white liberals who just eat up that identity politics shit.
People that don't hang out with colored people, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the other thing, too. It's you know, it's definitely marketed towards that crowd so that they can read this book and go, oh, okay, yes, I understand now. And still do fuck all. But they can tell themselves that, yes, I'm woke now, you know. And it just kills me that someone like that can come along and, like, nobody, like, not... Not except that guy you mentioned, Matt Taibbi.
Taibbi, yeah.
Taibbi.
From Rolling Stone.
Yeah, and he's got a podcast with...
Katie Halpert.
Yeah. It's a good podcast.
They stole our name.
Yes.
Well, I mean, they're useful idiots. We're,
no, I know,
we're kind
yeah.
of useless idiots. But
yeah. yeah. But here's a quote from him, because he wrote a scathing...
Vicious. Loved it.
review. It was brilliant, man. For corporate America, the calculation is simple. What's easier, giving up business models based on war, slave labor, and regulatory arbitrage, or benching Aunt Jemima? There's a deal to be made here, greased by the fact that the anti-racism prophets promoted in books like White Fragility share corporate America's instinctive hostility to privacy, individual rights, freedom of speech, etc. Corporate America doubtless views the current protest movement as something that can be addressed as an HR matter, among other things, by hiring thousands of D'Angelos to institute codes for the proper mode of black-white workplace interaction.
And now, is there anything that will build more unity than interacting with HR?
Oh, fuck.
Dude, although that is how you can unify a bunch of people who are at each other's throats. Just put HR on them, and everyone will fucking hate HR.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, I mean, he really did nail it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kills me because there is so much. If you're really... So, things are at the point right now where I'm reading a lot of stuff from different black authors, journalists, writers, and a lot of them are all saying the same thing. You know what? We're fucking done with you people. Mm-hmm. You want to learn it. Go educate yourself. It's your problem. You created it. You know, why am I supposed to help you fucking fix it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm in agreement. So I know myself personally, if I know nothing about something, I'm not... okay, so let's say, for example, I know nothing about our indigenous population or First Nations culture or, you know, what went on with residential schools and the 60 scoop, all that stuff, mm-hmm. right? So I know nothing about that. Now, I'm not going to walk up to the first indigenous person I see and go, hey, excuse me, yeah, could you help me out?
That's weird.
I'm not going to do that.
It's weird.
Right? I am going to try and find as many books as I possibly can written by First Nations authors.
That's one way to do it.
And try and start the process of educating myself. But it just seems to me that the general public, and when I say general public, you know, the white population, the predominant race in North America, just wants, it's like, I want to do something. I don't actually want to fucking do something. You know, I like, don't expect me to go out and stand alongside of you and protest. But I want to be seen to be doing something. So I'm going to buy this book.
I'll buy this book, or I'll in the footer of my email, I'll say, oh, I just want to acknowledge I live on Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh.
Fucking shoot me.
I don't do it.
Well, you know
In our work, I don't do it because if I really fucking cared,
yes,
I wouldn't be here earning a living on expropriated land. So it's kind
that's
of an,
right.
It's kind of a fucking insult to even say it. I'm more of a realist on this account.
Well, it's an insult to...
It's a lip service.
Yes, it's completely lip mm-hmm. service. It's we're going to do the land acknowledgement. We're going to throw a couple of photos, a couple of pictures some local artists did, and boom, we're good. We're reconciled.
I mean, if we really cared, we'd turn this country into something like a land lease.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we don't.
We're not going to do that.
But we want to feel like we're doing something, and we want to be seen to be doing something.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going on, you know, with her book. Verna Myers, who is an attorney, an educator, and she's a recognized yeah. expert, and a black woman. She says diversity is being invited to the party. Inclusion is being asked to dance. So diversity is the hiring part, and inclusion is the making sure your employees don't find themselves in a hostile environment and leave.
So you don't want to be like the fat chick or fat kid stuck in the middle, in the corner at the dance.
That's right. Companies are now pairing inclusion with diversity and calling it D&I. And that's the other thing, too.
D&I.
Fucking acronyms. The thing that bugs me most about inclusion is that it sounds like a neutral word, but it's not. It begs the question, who is including who? Who does this space belong to? It sounds like an act of welcoming instead of everyone being on equal footing. And I guess this is what's happening. Predominantly white spaces are trying to be more welcoming without having to relinquish white ownership of the space. Right? And white privilege is the term that stuck. Many scholars and feminists of color, bell hooks, Kimberly Williams Crenshaw, she was the one who first used the term intersectional feminism.
Oh God. Anyways.
I can see we're not going to go there today. Patricia Hill Collins had been discussing the same ideas, particularly in the context of intersectionality. The discussion also goes back to Sojourner Truth, Anna Julia Cooper. All these people were discussing racism and sexism as two separate kinds of oppression in the late 1800s.
But aren't these people all the same? They're all the same people. They're the grand poobah, grandmamas of yeah. this woman who's written this book now and is making a lot of money.
Well, no, because these people, so the Sojourner Truth, like there's a ton, again, if you want to educate yourself.
Okay.
Right? If you really want to educate yourself, there are people you should be reading. You shouldn't be reading fucking Robin DiAngelo.
No, but...
You should be reading...
My suggestion is... Because I'm always going to come at this from a more... I mean...
So you're always going to be a dick about it.
No. But in all legitimacy, because I'll come at this from a counseling perspective.
Okay.
Within the field of multicultural counseling.
Yes.
Right? To sort of be sensitive to someone's cultural difference.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation of it is not to fucking educate yourself about that person's culture and then come in and flex with some fucking knowledge, right?
No.
You only need the barest bit of knowledge, right? You need the barest bit of knowledge and a knowledge that we pretty much all have. Like, we know that the fucking Indians got a raw deal. You know what I mean? You know that. You know there are residential schools. You know there are reserves. That's enough. That's enough there. Beyond that, because we can see people in terms of categories, or we can still choose to see people as fucking individuals. So on a one-to-one basis, it's like, go hang out with somebody or get to know someone of a different color and just come at them as a human being and let them teach you about what it means to be them.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I'm saying, like, I've had interactions in my life, say in the field of construction, where it's like, I know there's a dude who probably harbors some fucking racist attitudes. And at some point, he's probably been like, oh, that fucking packy, the fucking Hindus are stealing all our jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
But on the day-to-day, we interact pretty well and we laugh and we get along as human beings. But I've had interactions in academia with people who are very fucking woke that feel condescending and unnatural and almost kind of more weird and racist than that sort of natural down at the ground type of interaction. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think the long and the short of it is just be fucking normal.
Yeah,
be
but
nice.
But here's the problem, right? Is so when you have a person like Robin DiAngelo saying, you're racist, this is why, you're probably always going to be that way, then people are scrambling to, because they don't give a shit about actually whether they're racist or not. They want to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be seen to be...
And ultimately, the company is doing something to assuage their shareholder concerns.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
get some cultural cachet.
Yeah, exactly. But really, what this is all about, or what it needs to be all about, is... And again, I hate using the term because I use it. It seems like it's overused. But the systemic racism.
Yeah.
So when, movements like Black Lives Matter...
What racism?
Systemic.
Oh, for God's sakes. Anyways,
yes. Yeah.
See, that's that lingo. That's that lingo. It's creeping into our language.
Yeah, but at the same time, that to me has always been a valid one because you basically have to examine the history of North America, right here, right? Like this land that we occupy, and the history of slavery.
Yeah.
So we talked about this before, right? Our relationship, or no relationship, lack of relationship with indigenous population in North America. They came, they took, and then tried to wipe out the local population. And
that's a broad stroke.
That's a
picture.
I'm sure there's
a lot more variety at the local levels.
But regardless, but when it comes to the black population of America and Canada, in general, nobody asked to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very valid point to be able to say, look, we're here. So now it's time to level the playing field. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter. I saw a video on YouTube by a cop. Okay. So he got pulled over by white cops.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in his department or jurisdiction. But, he's driving home.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as he got pulled over, he started taping.
Yeah.
Right? And basically, they were like, why are you going this way? Because
mm-hmm.
he said, this is where I live. But he even showed them his badge.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, first of all, I don't even think they believed he was a cop.
Mm-hmm.
But they eventually let him go. And then the rest of the video is just him just going, see, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he goes, police or no police, I thought, I'm probably going to die or I could easily die. And it's that kind of thing that is finally being addressed. And it's and bear in mind, it's a huge threat, right? It's a massive threat to many institutions.
Yeah, it's an inconvenience, that's for sure.
Well,
it's an inconvenience
for them. It goes a lot deeper than that, right?
What do you think? No, now we need to have some sort of
when you start to
ratioed racial hiring at our upper levels.
What I'm saying how it's a threat when you start talking about defunding police departments. So every white person that I've talked to, when you talk about that, like, so could you imagine that? Let's try and imagine it. And they're like, I can't. Like, and they're saying shit like, if some junkie or crackhead, because that's how they always start it, it's like, well, why does every criminal have to be an addict? They're like, yeah, some junkie or crackhead tries to fucking rob me. Who am I supposed to call?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's so ingrained in us that if anything at all goes wrong, or And especially if you're a white person, I'm being threatened. I feel my life is in danger. That's who I call. I call the
police.
Well,
that's a fucking good thing. That's a good thing in Canada. We've outsourced the legal capability to do violence to one organization rather than everybody can fucking do what they will to protect themselves. Like, I'm strapped up, but I can't shoot anyone who comes into my house.
Well, apparently you can.
No, actually. You cannot. You can only use equal amount of force.
Well, and a cop actually told me once, they said, if somebody breaks in, that this is a cop, not a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, you know, by the way, if anybody does break into your house and you're going to shoot them, fucking kill them. Because if you don't, big problems.
You're gonna have to prove that you were at risk of dying.
Yes.
Right?
But regardless, whenever you start talking about, like, what most people consider to be radical ideas, which is defund the police.
But I'm going to go back. This is not a fucking white thing. I was just at a barbecue on the weekend with a bunch of fucking rich and hoity-toity Punjabs. These are my people. Fucking everyone's rocking Bentleys and fancy cars, and they got fucking multiple houses, and we're talking about this same fucking language, man. Talking about junkies and crackheads. It's not a fucking racial thing. It's a fucking class thing. I'm telling you, it is.
It is.
It's not a white thing. It's like rich brown people feel large part the same way that fucking rich white people do.
But if you're poor, or if you've ever been poor,
well, then you're a crackhead. So the funny thing is, most of the time, the people I'm talking to don't know that I was a crackhead.
Yes, I know. So,
which is always funny. Sometimes you want to tell them.
I do tell them. I tell most everybody I meet. Not about me, about you.
About
me. By the way, yeah, he used to be a crackhead.
I think I have an idea, though.
Yeah,
I have an idea.
Oh, good.
I have an idea to fucking do this. Remember a couple shows ago, I was talking about fucking Limp Meat Singh or whatever the fuck his name is,
Jug Meat Singh.
Yeah, whatever. I've been trying to get a hold of him.
Oh, you
have? He hasn't responded to my fucking challenge. Apparently, he was at the fucking haberdashery one day or some shit like that. I don't fucking know. I was getting a hat made, some shit like that. I got a fucking trainer.
Yeah,
like I'm ready to fucking go.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Steven Seagal. He's fucking training me.
But is he going to show you that secret technique?
Yeah. But before that, I mean, fucking Jagmeet or whatever the fuck his name is. He's my MP, and I had a suggestion.
Yeah.
To deal with this racism thing, and this class thing, and it's a fucking draft. We need a fucking draft.
Bring back the draft.
I say we bring back the draft. I say we bring back a national work program. Well, you're 17 years old.
Yeah.
You go in 2 years. We sort of do a randomized distribution of people, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, class, whatever. It doesn't matter what area code you live in. You're going somewhere, and it's random. You might be going to fucking Nunavut. Well, and you're there with another group of randomized people, and you guys are out there doing hard shit for 2 years. I think it's a fucking brilliant. What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of...
Many ways. Like, I mean, I've heard this said many times. It's like once you get into the... into the nitty gritty and to the ground level of, say, the military. It's not a super racist. It's a fairly egalitarian organization.
Well, the UK, for up until not that long ago, had national service.
Yeah.
Right? So that was like everybody of a certain age had to do their military service for however long. Yeah. And that was the end of that. They never had that here in Canada, which I'm surprised because... Mm-hmm. They had it in, if the Brits did it, you know, normally Canada would follow. But the people that I know from other countries who have national service.
Like Scandinavian countries have it.
All say nothing but good things about it.
Yeah.
Like these are people who've had to do it.
Yeah.
And me being me, I'm like, well, aren't you pissed, man, that somebody is forcing you to, like, go and fight unjust wars? And they're like, well, you know, not really. It was actually, I was pretty young and I got to travel and they paid me and then I got trained and afterwards I became a paramedic. And I'm still trying to, you know, get them riled up. And they're like, no, it was a good thing.
But it doesn't have to, it could be about wars, but it could also be about fucking building infrastructure in different parts of the country.
A lot of it was, yeah. A lot of it was just inside, their own nations, right?
I'm just saying, if you get a group of people from different socioeconomic classes and different races, and they're together all being treated the same, doing something fucking hard, you will see those fucking artificial divisions.
But here's what I guarantee is that you would not have people of different socioeconomic backgrounds
randomized.
If they had
randomized,
they wouldn't
randomized,
because the rich fuckers would find a way to get out of it.
That's what I'm saying. I think this yeah, idea,
Donald fucking shin splints.
This idea, it's got it could get some traction.
Yeah. Well, so
that's how
I'll tell you what.
There's only one way to defeat racism.
Uh-huh.
Canadian nationalism. National socialism.
Why is there an American flag in the middle of the maple leaf?
It's like the sweet, juicy, candy-coated center. You know, it's like.
Oh yeah, actually that really sums it up.
Yeah,
quite well.
Yeah, it probably goes into what we'll talk about next about Meng Zhouhui.
Canada sponsored by America.
Yeah.
They. I mean, hey, do you mind arresting this person who's done nothing to you?
When we take a break here, and we'll talk about it, we'll just give a shout out to our...
No, when we come back, we're talking about Jordan Peterson.
Okay, we'll talk about Jordan Peterson. But just a word from our sponsor, Uncle Tom's Rice.
Oh. Oh. Welcome back. By the way, I stand corrected. It wasn't shin splints. It was bone spurs that kept Donald Trump out of the U.S. military.
And shit tons of money.
And mostly shit tons of money.
Yeah.
And
he's Eastern European models.
Yes. And he kills me, right? I mean, we're going to talk about him shortly, but the whole immigration thing. Fuck, every wife you've had has been an immigrant.
Yeah, a white one.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
But
So here's the big news.
This is very special right now. What we're going to talk. I mean, you may have picked up on this by now, but we're idiots. We don't know much about anything. But what we're going to talk about right now,
we actually know about
detoxification from drugs.
Yes.
And recovery from drugs. Something we do know a thing or two about.
Yes.
I also know how to not recover from drugs.
Well, and I know how to to not even try to stop drinking alcohol in large quantities. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is one of those drugs, by the way, that I like to call it the everything seems like a good idea at the time drug.
Well, benzos are a similar beast. They've been referred to as alcohol in a pill.
And similar in its withdrawal effect, right?
Exactly. The drugs actually have a cross tolerance.
That's right.
If you're tolerant to one, you have tolerance to the other.
You remember at work, that was one of the things, that one of the questions we would ask.
Yeah.
You know, if it was alcohol or benzos, how much?
Yeah.
And if it was over a certain amount of days... Within 30 days, if it was over 15.
That was a rough threshold, but
then we couldn't do it because we were not a medical detox. Because
the person would be at risk of seizures. They would need to be tapered off the substance.
Yes. Seizures, and that's something I know about. Yeah. I had three of them.
Yeah, because you, as a wise man, tried to detox in the way that apparently Jordan Peterson did.
Oh, what a I can't believe this fucking guy. You know what pissed me off about this? Okay, I'm going to say
this. Fill us in. What happened here? What happened?
So, Jordan, it turns out, Jordan Peterson, Mr. The 12 rules of everything you need to know you learned in kindergarten or some shit.
The only academic I respect because he parlayed his PhD into money making without money. Working for Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, Jordan Peterson.
My boy, JP. Yeah.
So, you know, I'll preface this by saying I'm not ragging on the guy. And I'm sure that it's, you know, probably tough for his family. His wife just got through, a tough bout with cancer. His crazy meat-eating daughter, I don't want to offend them, but Jordan Peterson
is... that a sexual innuendo?
No, she's, she promotes... I don't know. She's a YouTuber, an influencer, or some shit. Mm-hmm. And she promotes one of these fucking paleo, like, all-meat diets.
Yeah.
And Peterson himself has said, oh, ever since I started eating this meat-heavy diet, you know, I felt much better and no headaches and all
that. Except that I went psychotic.
Psychotic, yeah. Except that I got hooked on fucking benzos and had to go to Russia.
I'm going to tell you this, first of all. Benzos... I am a connoisseur of drugs.
Yes.
I love drugs. And my motto as a kid was better living through chemistry. What a fucking epic failure that was.
Yeah.
But I will tell you right now.
Uh-huh.
If you want to travel through time, if you want to wake up in a different time, different place, after blacking out, covered in blood, screaming, benzos. They're for you.
Well, I tell you, I did a lot of different drugs, but I was a drunk.
Yeah.
So I was always loaded.
Uh-huh.
So I really have no idea. That's why I don't, I'm pretty sure that's why I never developed any other, you know, drugs of choice.
Yeah.
Because I would literally, the people like, here, you want some of this? Yeah, yeah, sure. And then everybody else would be fucked and passed out. Yeah. And I'd be like, is there any beer in the fridge?
Because you were too toxic.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I really have no idea. I've probably taken benzos.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But, yeah.
So, benzodiazepines are commonly pushed by the pharmaceutical industry and the medical establishment as the quote-unquote cure for anxiety, all forms of anxiety, panic anxiety, social anxiety, generalized anxiety. I will tell you right now, if you want to ensure that you always have anxiety at the base... take benzos.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Like, this is what pisses me off about guys like Jordan Peterson, who are very condescending.
Well dressed.
Yes. Well,
like Jagmeet Singh.
Yeah. I don't know. Jagmeet dresses a lot better than Jordan Peterson.
Except for that fucking turban. Anyways.
Yeah. So he's like, he's one of those guys that's very. You know, he's a skinny-ass, kind of greasy-looking guy.
He's smarmy.
But he talks a lot about macho shit, which is, to me, I don't get it.
He talks about character and virtue.
So he talks about, you know, being strong, being a man, being a leader, being, he's got his 12 rules.
Do you have his rules there? Could you read?
I do.
And I will preface this with saying that, like, I don't think any of this is bad advice. Is it a panacea for your life? No. But, I mean, it's hard to take umbrage with any of these things. Let's hear.
There's his rules.
Let's hear.
Okay. Rule number one. Stand up straight with your shoulders back.
Hard to do when you're on benzos.
Treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping.
I would not give my dog or my wife benzos.
Make friends with people who want the best for you.
A doctor who prescribes you that many benzos does not want the best for you.
Yeah, but it seems like it at the time.
Right.
Compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today.
Well, he could have been doing this, like, I'm more ripped today than I was yesterday.
Yeah, but just that sentence alone sounds like he was on fucking benzos when he wrote it.
No, I think that's a good sentence. I do that at the gym all the time. I mean, because everyone there is just huge and yoked, and if I look at them, I'm just going to be sad. So I just compare myself to me yesterday.
Yeah, that's okay. Do not let your children. This is one that kills me. This is not possible to do. Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. That's not possible.
There's only one solution for that. Kill your child.
Yeah, pretty much. Set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. Coming from this fucking
that,
guy.
You know what? That's. But what he's saying is taper to, like, tamp down your hateration a little bit.
Okay, sorry. You can't, what is he saying?
He's saying, you know,
keep your own side of the street clean.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You don't cast stones when you live in a glass house. And we all live in glass houses.
Even though he does that every time he opens his mouth. Number 7, pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. Number 8, tell the truth. Or at least, don't lie.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Am I missing something here?
Be honest, it's good. It's the foundation of most religions.
Assume that the person you are listening to might know something you don't.
Humility. Not bad.
And in general, I always assume that other people know more than me. Yeah. Except when I'm listening to him. Okay. And number 10, be precise in your speech. Number 11. This doesn't even make fucking sense. Do not bother children when they are skateboarding.
What he's saying is let kids do what kids do. Play. Encourage play.
And pet a cat when you encounter one on the street.
Well, I can't abide by that, because cats are the fucking worst. Jordan Peterson, go suck a Russian dick. Fuck you. Well, but no, not really.
So the deal is, but here's what pisses me off. Those are his rules. Yeah. But here's what pisses me off, right? Is basically that 3, 4. Where's the rest of it? Where does it start?
I think Glenn forgot to take his clonazepam.
Oh yeah, here we go. So what happened? Michaela Peterson, that's the daughter, the crazy meat-eating daughter, said her dad.
Can I just ask you one thing first, though?
Yeah.
Is she hot?
No, not particularly.
Okay, I'm just. As a man, I usually need to know that.
That's good. That's, you know, if we're not,
if
you're not trying to be racist, Jordan, you're trying to be sexist.
Okay, Jordan Peterson's rules. Be honest. Honestly, that's the anytime you mention any woman, that's the first thing I think is she hot.
But, well, I know.
Yeah.
She said of her father, who is a controversial University of Toronto psychologist and author, is struggling with a severe dependence, not addiction, dependence. They make it very clear throughout all these quotes, it's a dependence. I'm not an addict. I'm not a stinking, filthy, in the fucking gutter.
I think you're adding that.
Well, that's what he's basically saying.
You're adding that context there.
I have a dependence.
He's saying he has a chemical dependency.
Yes. You're a fucking addict, Jordan.
No. I don't know if he's an addict.
Popular benzos are Xanax and Valium. The article is based solely on...
the kids call them Xannies.
Yeah.
Or bars.
Bars.
Yeah.
The article is based solely on Michaela's account.
Mm-hmm.
Outline a number of extreme circumstances and medical reactions that supposedly led Peterson to seek detox treatment in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she is an advocate, here we go, of the dubious meat-only lion diet.
Mm-hmm.
He was prescribed a low dose of benzos in response to an autoimmune reaction to food. Have you ever heard of that?
Could happen.
Could happen?
Of that which I can't speak about, I won't speak about. So I don't know. I'll just take his word for it.
Was he eating live fucking scorpions?
I don't know.
I
think if you have an autoimmune reaction to food, that means that God is telling you not to live anymore.
Yes. So, anyways, the piece does not specify how that is different from an allergy, but whatever.
I'm very interested in the dosage.
So, anyways, her dad's dose increased when her mom was diagnosed with terminal cancer last April, and he developed a physical dependence on it.
So it's a tough time. It makes sense. I mean, if you're going through a tough time and you have benzos, the likelihood is you'll take more because they'll blunt that. They'll numb that.
Absolutely.
You'll feel better.
And that part, you know, like, yeah. all this is just being human, right? That's yeah. normal. But it's coming from a guy that is, you know, looks down on, like, basically has said on a number of occasions that if you have any kind of addiction to drugs or alcohol, so you're weak.
I don't think he said that.
And you're weak-willed.
I think you're reading that into it. I think that what he has suggested is that many problems that you have can be overcome through the application of things like virtue, courage, standing up straight,
well,
quote unquote, being a man. But it doesn't seem to be what he's done here.
No, because Mr. Courage and Virtue and Strength and all that other crap that he spouts had to go to Russia.
So,
because you know what they do in Russia for detox? They... Because the Russians, they're light years ahead of us. They put you in a medically induced coma.
Well, this is not. So, it's not. I mean, you can laugh, but this is something that can be done here. It's been done for opiate addiction in the past, where they put you in a medically induced coma and put naltrexone through your body.
So this pussy couldn't hack the withdrawals. So it's just, oh man, just put me out. Just put me out, and then it'll all be over when I wake up.
I don't know about Jordan Peterson's specific situations, what detoxes he went to, but I absolutely...
His daughter says that everywhere he went in North America, the medical profession tried to kill him.
So that absolutely makes
me... I don't really blame them.
That's patently false. I mean, how many people... I know many, many, many people who have been detoxed off of benzodiazepines in institutions and at home. In Canada.
Yes,
you can get off benzos if you want to.
But
at a medical detox. It might take a while.
Yeah.
They'll do it slow because they don't want to fucking kill you.
So let me see. Wait. Let me just see here. You made a very good point. Yeah. It takes some time.
Yeah.
And it takes a little patience and some effort.
Takes some guts.
Oh, here we go. Rule number 7. Pursue what's meaningful, not what is expedient.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah? I rest my case. I
mean, JP's my boy, but I mean, there's some things I like about him. He's a Jungian, right?
He's a Jungian.
Yes. I like that because that's bucking sort of the modern scientism that we have going on. But a lot of what being a Jungian has to do with grappling with the darkness. With the shadow. And I think that if you're taking benzos
as a means to
dealing with your psychic pain or confronting a sense of meaninglessness maybe because you're going to lose a partner.
Yeah.
It's like that doesn't seem to be running with the Jungian ethos.
No, it's not.
But I'm not here to hate on Jordan Peterson. I don't know.
I want that to be made quite clear. That's exactly why I'm here. So Michaela said her dad sought treatment in Russia in January. First of all, I'll go back here. I don't even know what this is. I think they're just making shit up now. Michaela said her dad's dose increased when her mom was diagnosed with terminal cancer last April, and he developed a physical dependence on it. She said he developed a side effect called akathisia, a restless movement disorder that left him suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
According to Michaela, her father nearly died several times while bouncing around North American hospitals and being given more medications. He almost died from what the medical system did to him in the West, Michaela said. The doctors here aren't influenced. She's talking about Russia. The doctors in Russia aren't influenced by the pharmaceutical companies. No! No, they're just influenced by fucking money.
Like KGB pharma.
Yeah.
They just shot him full of fucking Decadrol and fucking testosterone. Just got him all jacked up and manly again.
So, yeah, she's making no friends in the medical community here. The doctors here aren't influenced by pharmaceutical companies, don't believe in treating symptoms caused by medications, by adding in more medications, and they have the guts to medically detox someone from benzodiazepines. Russia is known for having tough drug laws, scarce resources for recovery, and a cold turkey approach to treatment that includes the banning of methadone as a drug substitution. I haven't seen a lot of that and haven't done much personally, although that's starting to change a bit. There are a few points to consider. I love this. Peterson's PhD thesis was on male alcoholic sons of male alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
Men and Their Issues was an early obsession, obviously. Recently, I reviewed his this is from another guy who's talking about him.
What's the guy's name?
This guy is Michael Barnard, and he's the chief strategist at TFIE Strategy, Inc. He answered this on, Quora?
Yeah.
Yeah. So his PhD thesis was on male alcoholic sons of male alcoholics. Think his old man was a drunk? I betcha. Because you could only create a fucking whiny little skinny-ass bitch
him. This is just your fucking white guilt. Now you're lashing out at other people.
He's a dick.
I'm so confused about someone who was a clinical psychologist.
Yes.
A clinician, an experienced clinician, just appeared so ignorant as to the effects of these sort of like very, very, very common drugs. Like, I know this fucking shit. He didn't. I don't know what happened. It sounds like he may have had some like significant psychomotor complications later on, which could happen possibly, and maybe he had complications, side effects to other drugs. I have no fucking clue. It sounds more complicated than what we laid out initially.
Why? Like, there are so many. If you have money, and he has lots of money,
mm-hmm.
because
them speaking engagements. That's what we're hoping to
speaking,
get.
Speaking well, and not just that, on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
All the fucking crazy incels. And all the, you know, Gamergate fucking whack jobs, mm-hmm. living in their mom's basement. they donate huge money to his YouTube through his Patreon.
Well, I will tell you this.
Yeah.
If they're making their beds and cleaning their rooms,
mm-hmm.
their moms will say it was well worth supporting Jordan Peterson's Patreon.
Yeah, until they... Yeah, okay. Until they mow somebody, like 100 people down on the sidewalks while driving a van. Mostly women I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That happened once.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, it's this whole thing is just like, it's typical. It's the hypocrisy of him, you know, slinking off to a place that would put him in a medically induced coma. I'm sure he asked, probably while he was here, he asked lots of doctors, just do this. Fucking put me out so I don't have to suffer. And they probably went, no, because we don't need to. That's kind of dangerous.
Also, it's expensive. And our Medicare or medical system couldn't facilitate that.
And this is what...
But you can pay for it. I mean, you can pay for a rapid opiate detox out of pocket.
And this is what I don't understand. If you got the money, we have some seriously cushy ass spa hotel like treatment centers,
mm-hmm.
even here in Canada.
It's fairly remarkable to me that I'm in Canada. I'm thinking about it now that maybe something sort of like esoteric as this is a rapid benzo detox. Maybe it doesn't exist. Maybe it can't be facilitated. But in the United States.
Yeah, got money, come on. You would think they'd be doing it.
There has to be someone, a private surgical center, that'd be willing to do this.
But either way, I don't have an update mm-hmm. on how Jordy mm-hmm. is, because we're tight, so I can call him that. How he's doing mm-hmm. in Russia, and whether or not, you know, maybe he's over there for different reasons. Yeah. Maybe he's not even detoxing.
No?
Yeah. Maybe he is he's over there in the secret fucking
he's in a penthouse with Edward Snowden.
Trump and Steven Seagal.
You're not anti-Russia. You're not an anti-Russia guy, are you?
No.
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 What do you think about all this fucking Russia hate? Or just making Russia a punchline?
Yeah. It's just, that's all it is. It's making Russia a punchline. Yeah. Russia's making themselves a punchline. Because you know why? Because you got a guy like fucking Putin in charge.
Yeah.
And he's just an oligarch and a fucking narcissist. And but the thing is...
But by all accounts, it was a lot worse before we came along. It was the fucking Wild West.
Are we to go down that argument and say, well, you know, before Hitler came along.
He's a strong man.
Well, yeah, but a lot of people... So,
you know, China was in shambles before Mao came along.
Fuck off. Yeah, and they're doing so much better now.
They are. They're doing great. They can push around low-level powers like Canada with fucking... impunity.
Oh, yes, and don't they? So I just want to say this. I'm wishing Jordan Peterson all the best. I hope you get better soon. Thoughts and prayers.
Oh, God, did you say thoughts and prayers? That means you really want him to die.
No, not at all. Yeah, seriously, he does, obviously, he's a dirty, filthy gutter addict. So, yeah, it's serious, and I hope it gets better.
I'll
save him a seat in a meeting. Could you imagine that?
My thoughts and prayers to JP. JP, I just want to say, you can't run away from anxiety. There's only way to overcome it, and that is to walk into it. Anxiety is a natural part of the human condition. We're squishy, delicate things that can be squished, crushed at any moment. It makes sense to be scared. So embrace that. Walk into the shadow. That's the only place where you're going to find a resolution.
And, not in a pill bottle. And the other thing I want to say is...
Benzos are evil. They were made by Nazis.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Damn.
I hope you're suffering. More importantly, another one of our favorite subjects here on the program, the guy we all love to hate. And speaking of, like, a punchline.
What'd you call him? Donnie Shingles? Donnie Shinsplints. Donnie Shinsplints is pretty good.
But it was Bonesplints.
Who cares? Shinsplints sounds way better.
Do you have any self-respect?
Who, Donnie?
Yeah. No, I can't. I have Shinsplints.
Dude,
do you know what I mean?
Honestly, I would...
I got respect. I disagree with much of what he had to say. And how he voted on so many things. But a guy like McCain, Senator McCain, he was fucking POW, man.
You know
what I mean?
Hold on. But
this guy is like serious fucking tough guy.
Yeah, but if you went to Vietnam to kill people, and in retrospect, we know it was an unjust bullshit.
War. It was a clusterfuck.
Isn't Trump more morally pure? I mean, I would have dodged that draft in a second.
No, there's a difference between...
It's a difference between saving your skin?
There's a difference between Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, changing his name to Muhammad Ali, and saying, I'm not going to go fight your war because, you know, basically this is what you do. You send... you know, young black men off as cannon fodder. I'm not going to fucking do it.
To go kill colored people in other places.
Yeah, who I have nothing against.
Yeah.
There's a difference between that, you know, that's pretty righteous what Ali did. And Trump going, oh, fuck, I don't want to die. What do you get? No, here's some money. Don't make me go. I'm scared. I'm going to pee myself.
I guess if we do a more utilitarian calculus, Cassius Clay came home. He only gave CTE to a couple people, like banging their skulls, so he didn't cause too much pain by not going. And Donald Trump probably impoverished many more.
Oh fuck! Yeah. So, but really, I just want to take a moment.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we're very lucky to be where we are during COVID-19.
Which apparently is still a thing. As Glenn has told me, COVID-19 is still
a thing.
Even
though you don't believe it's actually happening.
I believe that it exists. Yes. What it is, we still don't know. And I think you're coming around to my to my belief. Didn't come from a fucking meat market, I'll tell you
that much. But here's the deal.
But where Trump's, it came from doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't. No. And what does matter is...
Although it does matter.
America, you know, they were kind of the last, right? So we already saw it. We saw what was going on in Italy and Spain, you know, and we read about everything in China. And you know, there was cruise ships with people who were stuck on them, quarantined.
People being cemented and chained into their houses in China, reportedly.
Yeah, all this shit.
Yeah.
So, and then Bonehead is like, anybody else? Pardon me. And there was plenty of people around Donald Trump saying, this is coming. We need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, lock the fucking door. And he was, no, it's not.
Well, he did lock the door. That was the first thing that is. They locked the door in 2016.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, yeah, lots of people warned him, and he refused to do anything about it. Now, I don't know. I you know, I'm always back and forth with Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm halfway between, is he really clever? Like, in the fact that, well, I don't want the economy to shut down because mm-hmm. I personally will lose lots of money from all my companies that I'm supposed to be already divest of, but I'm not.
And also to appease the real stakeholders.
And
yeah,
the
power
and
structure.
All the people I fucking owe money to. And so I'm going to pretend to be this bumbling idiot, or is he just crazy and stupid and doesn't give a shit?
I don't know. Maybe they've made a calculation that a certain amount of lives is acceptable.
I can't figure the guy out. So U.S. President Donald Trump on Saturday told thousands, not millions, as Don likes to think, turn up for his events, thousands of cheering supporters he had asked U.S. officials to slow down testing for the novel mm-hmm. coronavirus, calling it a double-edged sword that led to more cases being discovered. Yes, that tends to happen. You fucking test people, chances are you're going to find sick people.
Well, I mean, that was a strategy I would use sometimes when I was like just deeply fucking just hooked on dope, just greasy. It's just, I would just pretend that I had the flu and that I wasn't a drug addict. And somehow that made it better.
Sure.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what he's doing. Yeah. I don't know. Trump said the United States had now tested 25 million people, far more than other countries. When you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people and more cases. So I said to my people, slow down the testing, please. Is he fucking crazy? Or, and that was at a campaign rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was the same rally where, like, I don't know, 10 people on his staff all tested positive for COVID.
So I think with the Trump thing now, they're gearing up, they're tooling up for election season. They're going to pick a narrative here, and the narrative they pick is the fucking crazy one. My wife was reading me a link that there's yet another individual in running for Congress who's endorsed some of that fucking QAnon shit.
Oh, right.
There's another dude saying that fucking Beyonce is actually not really black. She's a fake black Illuminati that's passing secret satanic messages. This is another person running for Congress. And these are the people that they're surrounded with. They're going to run on this fucking conspiracy, paranoid, fucking nationalistic agenda. And they're just going to hope to hold the base and probably disenfranchise enough people that they can fucking maintain the shit. Or just fucking nullify the election later on. Who fucking knows? Maybe it's better to let this shit get worse, because then you can fucking cancel the election.
Well, and maybe that's what he's going for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
or if there's enough unrest, it's like, well, we can't have the election now, guys. It's not safe.
Trump said his actions in blocking travelers from China and Europe had helped save hundreds of thousands of lives.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the radical fake news media had not given him credit for doing what he called a phenomenal job responding to the outbreak. Okay, now this next bit would actually be funny if it wasn't so fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. And my condolences, before I read this any further, my condolences to the family. But, holy crap. A Florida teenager who died of complications from COVID-19 attending a large church party without a mask just a few weeks earlier, then took unproven drugs touted by U.S. President Donald Trump before her parents brought her to a hospital, according to a newly released medical examiner's report. Carson Lee Davis, 17, died on June 23rd after a lifetime of battling various medical challenges, including cancer and a rare autoimmune disorder that contributed to her death, according to the Miami-Dade County Medical Examiner's Office. The girl was the youngest person to die of the coronavirus in her county at the time, and her death triggered an outpouring of sympathy and prayers for her family. The United States has done more, far more testing than any other nation by far. So this poor girl, who struggled all her life with all kinds of, she had a compromised immune system, all this shit, is attending a church fucking rally or whatever it was, where nobody was wearing masks, and she was she had taken probably the chloroquine or whatever the hell it was,
hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah. Because of this fucking crazy bastard.
We don't know that. Maybe she did.
We do know that. But, well, come on. It's Florida. So, really, do I need to say more? So, basically, he has done the worst possible job out of every nation on the face of the planet dealing with COVID-19.
We do have, in South America, came out today.
Yeah.
That Bolsonaro.
Yes.
Brazil.
Yeah, yeah. Who's equally as crazy.
Yes, he's the more crazy. More crazy, more violent, more dangerous. Has been diagnosed with coronavirus. As of today.
Yeah. Ain't karma a bitch.
But if that's the company you're keeping, Brazil, in its present state, doesn't bode well for the United States. But I will contend that I don't think it would have been much better any other way either. I don't think the U.S. has a lot of decentralized power, and I don't necessarily know if their structure would allow for the type of response that this pandemic may have required.
Yeah, but the amount of people that they have in America who are like, you can't tell me what to do.
Well, I mean,
do you know what I mean?
But then that's
like, who does that?
That's an issue of meaning, though. Maybe I don't want to live my life if I can't be free.
The building's on fire. Get on the ladder. The fire department's here. No, you can't fucking tell me what to do. No, I'm gonna burn to death.
You will. Yeah, and that's okay because
freedom, baby.
And it's okay if you die. I mean,
really?
Well, they're Americans. They're righteous. They'll be safe.
So let me ask you, do you honestly think... So I'm very impressed that Canada was able to keep the borders closed.
And they're still closed to the U.S.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm very impressed that we did that. Because I'm surprised Trump didn't just go, well, we'll just get the military up there. We'll fucking open the borders.
In a unique... Well, I mean, he doesn't want the borders open, obviously, because...
Yeah.
That's part of their... His platform is that everything that's bad is coming from outside.
Yeah, not so much.
No, but that's the spin he's got to have. In a unique piece of irony, Mexico has closed the border to the U.S. along Arizona. Yes.
Yeah.
You know what, USA? I fucking hate you, but I fucking love you. You make all the best things. You got the best music. Got the best athletes. Your culture is shit, but it's so delicious. And it's sad. It's just sad seeing what's happened right now. Look, you guys are our fucking juicy caramel core. And you're rotting.
Yeah.
And you're rotting. I mean, like, I don't want to put a fucking Chinese flag in there. Fuck no.
But I do. So, you know.
I know.
Boy, I got to tell you, it's been a lot of fun this week. And once again, my apologies to Jordan Peterson's family.
Yeah. You hear those kids in the background?
Yes, I do. What's the deal? Jesus.
I mean, we keep kids locked in the basement here. It's just the thing we do.
And next time, can we sedate them before we start taping?
I'll call Jordan Peterson.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for stopping by and inviting us into your brain, into your ear, through your earbuds or whatever the hell you're using. So you can catch Wallace Hartley Presents the podcast with Harsh and Glenn, or Glenn and Harsh. I'm not sure because I think it changes.
Well, if we can go Glenn and Harsh because it's G-H.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
You can catch the podcast Wallace Hartley on Spotify, on Podbean. Yeah. You can check us out and actually see our smiling, handsome, kind faces on YouTube. But really, the YouTube thing is just the podcast only. You see us sitting in chairs talking to each other. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Follow us if you're watching on Spotify and Podbean. Tell your friends.
Comment.
Comment.
Even insults and flames. I've never been involved in a flame war. I want to get involved in some sort of virtual altercation.
Absolutely. Eventually, when we actually have more than four listeners, we're going to have guests.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you want to be a guest on this program and you have something to say, get in touch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can get in touch with us through Podbean or YouTube, and we'll have you as a guest.
And Lip Meat Sing. I'm here.
Okay. So
I'm waiting.
And
I'm training. Me and fucking Steven Seagal. This shit's going to be vicious.
Steven Seagal. Okay. Okay. Thanks for stopping by. You guys are awesome. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. And remember, folks,
don't be a dick.